Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else.
Often in today's world, we're told that hustle is the answer. Work harder, push longer, sacrifice now so that you can succeed later. And yet, how many of us found ourselves burnt out? I know Leanne talks to people who are burnt out, chasing after achievements, only to realize that the joy that we were looking for got lost somewhere along the way. And the truth is that it's not hustle that shapes us. It's the journey itself. Success is not measured in what we build or earn necessarily, but in the who we become along the way. And that's what I like to talk about. That's always been my keynote speech. That's where I kind of want to show up because there's enough people out there who know the nuts and bolts. I've been doing this business, the entrepreneurship thing for, like Leanne said, 40 years. And so I know lots of things. I'm available to answer questions on that. But where I see things weak or gaps in people's lives are in their wellness. You know, it's either we focus on work or we focus on wellness oftentimes when I meet with entrepreneurs. So I want to give you some practical tips today on how to integrate that. It's why I live and teach these five pillars to living well. And pillars are things that anchor us. You know, it's not really an end point, but something that we're constantly striving for. And the idea behind these pillars is to create fulfillment in your life. You know, when I look back over those 40 decades as an entrepreneur, the hustle got me moving. Yes, but it was the journey of leaning into those five pillars that gave me the strength mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually to keep going. Faith when things fell apart. Fitness to get me through the burnout and the self-neglect. You've all been there. I know you have. The fellowship of mentors and friends who believed in me when I couldn't see my own way forward. And the financial wisdom that came through both wins and mistakes. And then, you know, I wrap everything in fun. Fun has to be a priority because if it's not fun, I'm not going to stick with it. I can't stay and do something that isn't fun. And yet we still need to make money. So how do we tie all this together? And today I want to start with defining the word wellness because my background is in wellness and wellness is often considered simply good health, being in good health. But a more fitting description may be holistic integration of physical, mental, spiritual well-being, fueling the body, engaging the mind, and nurturing the spirit. And I do like that definition. That was from, you know, Google or somewhere. But I still think it's missing something. And so on digging just a little bit further, I want to share the definition from the Global Wellness Institute, which defines wellness as the active pursuit of activities, choices, and lifestyle that lead to a state of holistic health, mind, body, spirit, and community. Because community is what we're talking about today. Our second guest is all about community, and she'll be sharing more details on that. But I really like that one because it encompasses all those areas, our thoughts, our body, our connection to something greater, and then how we live in the community. Leanne mentioned that I am an entrepreneur, and I've also been a wellness advocate for many years. I have two master herbalist certifications. I'm a certified holistic health practitioner, holistic nutritionist, and a wellness coach. All of that I did for me because I had a blood disorder as a child and then in my early 20s started having reoccurring skin cancers. And it's been a lifelong challenge for me to be able to maintain wellness in my system, in my life, in my world, and still be able to have the stamina to keep working and being an entrepreneur. So how do you show up in your life with your wellness? What is it that you're doing to maintain that wellness? Now that I'm 60 years old this week, I decided to add a few more definitions or a few more items to that definition for myself. And if you'll allow me, I'd like to dig deeper into these five pillars and share that with you today. What it is that I believe true wellness looks like. It's not perfection or rigid routines. It's about presence, about purpose and about progress. And it's about how we live every day. You'll notice some of these pieces come from my book because it's the message that I've decided is going to be my mission from now through through when we get to hear my eulogy. I've had three takeaways. I have three takeaways for you today. One is hopefully I can give you some tips on life, feeling a life that's fulfilled, like experience fulfillment in your life if it's not already there. How to shift from fixing yourself to honoring yourself. Because as we get older, it's not about the rush, it's about the stillness. And then simple mindset shifts to help you create sustainable well-being. And then I have two more thoughts on this that just popped in. It's never too late to live your calling, your purpose, your mission, your vision. I'm starting to realize that I'm starting again at 60. This isn't a continuation. This is something new. This is a restart. So this is a perfect space for me to be on today. And then wellness isn't something that you reach. There is no end point. It's the journey, not the destination. Okay, enough of that. Let's dive into this. You may have heard of the Wheel of Life with those 10 spokes. Some of us think it came from Tony Robbins, but it originally was created by Paul G. Meyer. He's the founder of the Success Motivation Institute, and he developed this tool back in the 1960s to help individuals assess different areas of their life and work, and how they work towards their goals. Some people call it the Wheel of Life, and it has 10 segments originally, visually representing the different aspects of your life. And those may have included health, career, finances, relationships, including romantic relationships, friends, family, business partners. Other items were personal growth, fun and recreation was definitely on there, spirituality, and then our physical environment. Well, fast forward to the 80s and 90s, and then Tony Robbins really did adapt this, and I believe he calls it the Pyramid of Mastery. And in his Pyramid of Mastery, we emphasize, or he emphasizes, seven key areas. So he's pared it down to the physical body being the foundation for vitality and wellness, well-being, and then emotions and meaning, like defined as the key inner peace and understanding that you experience every day. And then relationships, the human need for connection. Time is another one, mastering the use and allocation of your time efficiently. Do you use a calendar? Do you show up late? Do you show up on time? Is late 5 minutes early? Work, career, mission. What are you pursuing? How do you get fulfillment out of the work that you do? And then finances. We all want to achieve financial security and stability. What does that look like? And then the last one, of course, is celebration and contribution. So, every one of these or both of these have that celebration or contribution or fun aspect to it. How many of us lose sight of that? Do we actually enjoy what we're doing, or is it about the paycheck? Whether it's a job or a business that you're running, are you getting that fulfillment and that fun out of the work that you do? There are many speakers and coaches, trainers who have adopted these foundational elements as a formula to build around. I've seen them remixed in many different ways. And of course, being that that's my industry as well, I've done the same thing, but I needed mine to be even more simple. And so I use five. I pared mine down to faith, fitness, fellowship, finances, and fun. They encompass all those areas, but it's really easy. And maybe I had to do five because I had five members of my family, or because five is easy to remember because I have five fingers. Or I think the real reason is because I was on a cruise in Alaska and they taught me how to remember the five different kinds of salmon. If you want to know what they are, the first one represents the thumb and that one's called chum. The pointer finger is sockeye because you poke yourself in the eye. The middle finger is called king salmon. And then this one's called silver because that's where we wear our rings. And the last one is pinky. I know it's not relevant to this, but five is an easy, simple acronym. And I want you to remember five as we pull these five elements together today. And you'll be able to remember them because I've also allocated them to each of your five fingers. I know it's kind of silly, but remembering helped it to stick with me. And that's the goal, is for you to have this takeaway and be able to remember these five pillars later today. So all I ask as we go through this is I want you to resist turning this into checklists. Instead, what we want these 5 points to be are like a star or maybe a compass that are guiding without constricting. There's no rules. I just want to expand your mind and give you something to think about later today. So here's the getting deep part. What it means, it's your inner compass. It's that foundation of trust, trust in yourself, your calling, something greater. Faith is where we're rooted, maybe some of us in traditional religion or spiritual practices, quiet intuition, or just spending time in nature. Faith guides the journey when the path isn't clear. And we can all use a little bit of that. What that might look like, how could that show up? Morning stillness or a prayer. Maybe it's the surrender, not as a victim, but as acceptance of all things working for our good, or acceptance that there's always beauty once the ashes cool. It's found in the stillness, listening to your mind, your body, your intuition, and the world around you. The takeaways from this: listen to your inner wisdom. Be connected to something greater than yourself and return to center during the chaos. When we can find that peace, we create clarity and calm, and that's when we're best able to serve friends, family, business associates, finding that inner peace. Second one is fitness. And oh, by the way, the reason I use faith is because your thumbs are connected when you're in prayer. We'll just give you some sort of an acronym to tie it together. Fitness. I want to poke you in the eye. Fitness is sockeye. It's fitness. It is vitality in motion, not about aesthetics or weight. It's about energy and strength and treating your body as an ally or a, let's call it, supporting character in the movie of your life, the supporting character in the purpose that you've designed for your life. How might it show up? Maybe nourishing meals, joyful movement, rest and recovery. Protect that sacred time of rest and recovery. Do we wake up and look at the phone? We've all been lectured about this. How many times have you sat in on a workshop where they say, set the phone in another room, don't look at it first thing in the morning, use do not disturb? Well, there's truth to all of those things. The phone can interrupt our fitness and our health. I use herbal supplements to enhance my nutrition, but maybe you just choose organic food. Sunshine, hydration, and breath are also part of fitness. Some of us may go to the gym and work out or, create a diet, a plan that you follow. Those are important too, but I think some of these pieces are the things that we're missing. And I mentioned in the takeaways for today being honoring what your body needs in each session of life, in each season of life, during the tax season, if you're an accountant, how do we honor our bodies and support them through this fitness time? Number three is fellowship. What I term my soul connections, the people who hold you up, who walk beside you and celebrate your growth. It's the antidote to isolation and the catalyst for expansion. And though the other wheels have relationship listed, I chose the word fellowship because it includes community. No man, woman, or child is an island. It's in our DNA, and research strongly suggests that our relationships are as fundamental to our health and well-being as is water and sunlight and food. Who are the people in your life? How do we invite people in that are lifting us up, that are supporting us, that are people that we want to walk beside us? What kind of connections do we have with those folks? I was recently watching a podcast with Mel Robbins, and she had a guest on there, and I don't remember the guest's name, but she offered up an exercise to reflect on how to know if the relationships in your life are working for you. And I thought this was such a great idea. She said, grab a piece of paper and make three columns. columns, or cut it into three sections. And at the top of each one, there's these statements. The first one is, someone I would change my schedule to spend time with. If they called you on the phone, would you change your schedule to spend time with that person? Number two, you know them. They're the toxic people. They're obvious. They stand out. When they're around you, they're negative. They never have positive things to say. Maybe they're a gossiper. You define it, but there are people that are just plain toxic. They identify themselves and they're crystal clear. It's crystal clear to you when you know somebody is not good for you to be hanging around. But then there's this third category, and that's someone that you dread seeing after you make plans with them. Have you ever said, yeah, let's go to lunch, or yeah, let's go to dinner together? You made plans and then you're watching it come up later in the week and it's on your calendar and you're like, oh, why did I do that? And maybe you can't put your finger on it, but it's not enjoyable when you spend time with them. Why is that? Are they draining your energy? Are they asking too much of you? Do they have expectations of your relationship? Are they constantly criticizing or backhanded complimenting you? But you definitely notice that your energy is not optimal when you're with them. Here's the challenge. Here's the rub. Now that you have the sheet of paper with the three categories across the top of them, think of all the people in your life, whether it's friends, family, business associates, clients. I want you to think of that list of people and every name that pops in, put them in one of those categories and just start to notice, which of those lists is getting longer. Is my number one list, I would change my schedule to spend time with those people, is that the longest list? Or is it the toxic people that you may need to bless and release? Or is it that third section, the people that you thought were your nearest and dearest friends, the people that you spend the most time with from that category, but yet they're not lifting you up. They're not encouraging you to live your purpose, your best life. They're not setting an example for you to step into the best wellness that's available to you, or being in a healthy state of mind. I submit to you that sometimes there are people in our lives that we have to bless and release, at least for a while, maybe not forever, and go out and find those people that are in that stage of life that you want to be in. Remember, I don't know if I think it was Peter Drucker that said, you are a product of the five people closest to you. Are the five people closest to you representing who you want to be in your life? And if they're not, they're hampering your wellness. They're slowing your wellness. They may be even causing dis-ease in your life because of their energy or how they're sucking the energy from you. All of these play a factor in how you do business, how you show up in business, how successful you can be in business. If your energy is drained and you're sitting in front of a client, how are you going to be able to close a deal? How are you going to be able to have clear thoughts and be able to remember all the different particulars of a presentation when you're working with those clients? Remember, this is all about your wellness. What is feeding your healthy mind, body, spirit, and community? Is it okay to love someone from afar if they're making you sick or draining your energy? And it doesn't have to be forever. As we get stronger, as we get more clear on our wellness, as we create boundaries and know what it is that we want out of our lives, we can invite those people back in. We may just create boundaries around it or spend less time with them. So, fellowship. What does it look like? Supportive community spaces. I facilitate one every Saturday morning and call the wellness workshop. Bringing people into your life, or attracting people into your life that edify you, that lift you up, that are complimentary. You always feel good about them, about yourself when you're with them. Being able to have vulnerable conversations without judgment. And then for me, it's group travel. I've seen amazing healings happen when people are traveling because they're relaxed. They're in spaces where they're joyful and doing things that they love to do, and they have aha moments. And it creates an opportunity for us to have wellness healings or have an awareness to make a shift to say, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and I'm not going to go back. And they're not, you're not alone. So group travel, I find, is a wonderful place. Or a lot of women do retreats, and now there's a group called Dude Nation that's doing retreats for men. So creating fun environments where we still do the deep work, we still do the hard work, we're supported, and there's people around us that can help us walk through it. Other places are maybe sisterhood or brotherhood, mentorship, those kinds of things. Number four, finances. Financial freedom through money alignment. Money becomes a tool that is tied to impact. It's tied to travel. It's tied to wellness. It's tied to all of those things that you want to do in your life. And it's even tied to stress. And when money is synced to stress, we know that it's not supporting our wellness. Money is about designing the life that feels abundant, value-driven, fulfilling, and it allows you to create the income that you need to follow your dreams, to live your dream life. So, how does that show up? It could show up with budgeting, purposeful spending, saving, planning for future things rather than have spontaneous purchases. Investing in experiences over things. Do we really need to accumulate more stuff? Or is it about the experiences, tying our faith and our fellowship together using money? And then breaking that scarcity story. If we could get that clear and let go of some of those childhood behaviors, those childhood stories that we tell ourselves, building confidence in our ability to make money. So the bottom line takeaway here is creating income from doing what you love to do. If that is not you, how can you rearrange that? How can you do it differently? How can you do what you love to do and still create the dream life you want with enough financial freedom? Last one is the pinky. It's fun. The joy that makes it all worthwhile. Not frivolous, but essential. You know, fun is the emotion of a life lived well. That's my opinion. But when I am experiencing fun, even paying the bills, experiencing fun, even getting chewed out or criticized, you can have fun. You can be curious. You can be fascinated. It doesn't have to be frustrating or depleting. It's a mindset shift that allows us to enjoy every experience, whatever it is. It's easy for me to go play. That's why I had to use the word frivolous in this description, because I can frivolously blow off the entire week and go kayaking or golfing or hop on a plane and go somewhere. So for me, I need to incorporate fun that is essential, that causes joy or enjoyment in my business, the people I serve, the people I get to work with, and the people I spend time with. Frivolous is ignoring paying the bills and doing what needs to be done. And for many of us, that's asking for referrals, getting testimonials, and doing your follow-up. We need to do those essential things that are going to help us to make money. But how do we cause joy from doing that? That's what earning a living looks like if we want to have fun in a well, with wellness, you know, in a healthy way. While we're creating the life that we want, the life of our dreams, we're feeling fulfilled and satisfied, and we're enjoying it. Having spontaneous, what it could look like, having spontaneous adventures. You know, maybe instead of sitting in a board meeting, you take everybody outside to the park, have them take off their shoes, and you do your meeting outside. There's ways to incorporate fun that can be spontaneous. Dance, art, music, laughter, you know, doing comedy, going to comedy, all of those can cause that stirring within you. They bring fun and joy into your life. Saying yes to what delights you rather than always saying yes to what has to get done. Maybe hire somebody and offload some of that stuff. Making space for play is making space for healing, healing our heart and healing who we are. When we create that space for play, we invite that in. So, bottom line takeaway on this one is celebrate, play, and keep it fun. You know, the life that you're designing isn't split between business, work, and personal. It's an integrated and intentional path, and the five pillars that I use support my wellness. So I've tied together my wellness and building a sustainable business that's happy and fulfilling. So I hope I've given you a simple formula, five fingers, five topics. How can you apply them to your life? It's an easy acronym to follow. We've taken out that big wheel and all the complications, and it's customizable to what it is that you want to do moving forward, whether it's as an entrepreneur, as an employee, as a stay-at-home mom, or a parent who's taking care of their kids. These five areas can work for anyone, and they're completely customizable to what it is that you want. The goal here is to be intentional in your actions and create some clarity without causing it to be a checklist or rules. We're developing that North Star, the five points on that North Star, or that compass that's going to create clarity as you're walking on this path, as you're creating the dream life that it is that you want. If you'll stick with me, I think I have a couple of more minutes. I'm going to recap this in a different way with a little bit of twist on this. Faith grounds your decisions in something deeper than metrics. It's not just about goals. It allows you to trust your gut, your intuition, when strategy alone falls short. It reminds you that you are not building this dream alone, that you are in a divine collaboration with purpose. Get connected to something higher in your life. Fitness fuels the energy behind the mission. A strong body and a strong mind nourish the spirit. They can create stamina that shows up fully, and it helps us to lead effectively and weather the inevitable. In entrepreneurship, it's constantly changing, and so we can't be torn off course or kicked off the path. We need to be able to stay the course if we want to be successful as entrepreneurs. Wellness isn't a luxury when you're an entrepreneur. It's not a luxury for anybody, but it's not a luxury. And so many things in our life can pull us off that path of wellness. Wellness is your edge, and it gives you a leg up when you're an entrepreneur. So be intentional about it. Next is fellowship. It's your worldly connections, the community, and the people that you cultivate, your mentors, peers, teams, and the clients, they all become the soil in which your business grows. When you plant seeds by developing relationships, you will continue to flourish for years and years, maybe even 40 years. The right people open doors, they reflect the truth, and they multiply joy in your life. So pay attention. Take a look at the people that you're doing business with, that you're doing life with. Finances, of course, they give you the form to create the vision. They give you the what you need to actually sustain life and to be able to afford wellness. The truth is that income aligns with impact. The more we have, the more we have. And when your money habits reflect your values, your business becomes a vehicle to freedom, not just for you, but for everyone you influence. Profit becomes your pathway to purpose. So, how do you want to make more money? And then fun. Fun creates that creativity that keeps us alive. It keeps our heart engaged. It's a secret ingredient in sustainability. When your work brings you joy and when you give yourself permission to play, you become a magnetic force. It also causes resiliency because when we can laugh things off and not take ourselves too seriously, we're more resilient. We have the ability to bounce back. Fun isn't a detour. It's the fuel for the road that all of us are on. So here's what I'll wrap up. Together, these pillars create more than just balance. They form a rhythm. They form a flow, one that honors your soul while advancing your mission, one that says you can build the business that feels like home. One that proves success isn't about doing more, but about aligning deeply with who you are and what truly matters. So, whether you're launching a new offer or navigating a pivot in your business, maybe you're dreaming up your next big adventure, I invite you to use these five pillars for planning. Let them guide your choices, let them guide your schedule, let them help you collaborate, and use them for self-care. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself and creating the wellness that you want. Because when your life is rooted in these truths, your business doesn't just grow, it becomes a reflection of you, and that's the you that people want to do business with. So thanks for listening. I appreciate being here today.
Unmute. Hi. And welcome. Thank you, Lisa. That was amazing. And I forgot to mention in my introduction, podcaster right here. Lisa also has a podcast. She is you publish weekly with what you're doing. You do. And you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Well, it's called a bit of insight because, when you're as old as I am, 60, 40 years of experience as an entrepreneur, a lot of wisdom comes up. There's things that you see and you start to have an opinion as you get older, and an opinion that you don't care what people think, and you want to start to share it with folks. So it's called A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, and it's just my insights. It's things that I see and the way that I see the world, and then I get to interview folks and let them share their insights as well, because everybody has different unique experiences and we're here to learn from each other. There's no one right way, there's no one size fits all. So if we can pull from all of these masters in their skills, maybe we can become a more harmonized community. So that's the goal.
And all the speakers in this whole summit have been on my podcast, including Lisa, and I've had the blessing of being on her podcast as well. Not everybody has a podcast, but in addition, I've been blessed to read Lisa's book. And I know that you're in a little bit of a revision. It's just about done. But do you want to talk about your book a little bit more? Because Live Well, Travel Far really is about all those things. It's not about just the well part, right? The well isn't just the fitness part. The well is all
Not.
five.
Yeah, it is really about how do we live? How do we live a life of wellness? And so I share a lot of stories. All it is a parable, so it's not about me. I don't use my name. It's not my story, but it's all my stories. And so Dana, who's the lead character of this, it's her journey and the lessons that she's learned while traveling, taking off from the departure lounge, getting stuck on autopilot in life. So I've tried to tie some of these concepts, these five pillars, the elements, into that book, and make it funny, shared some funny stories in there. So, and if anybody wants the first chapter, you can go to lisamosby.com. And that's Lisa, MOSBEY.com. And I have the first chapter as a gift for you. So you can just put in your name and email and you'll be able to open it right up. It's just a flip book. You can breeze through it and read the first chapter if you want.
And I'm quickly putting that into the chat. It's Lisa, Lisa, Mosby, MOSBEY.com. So it's in the chat for anybody who wants to go there. Go grab the first chapter of this amazing book. I tell you, the first time I read the beginning of the book, and Lisa was really good. She didn't even tell me she was writing the book. I got to read it at the same time as everybody else. And it was so fun. It was just with the first few words of this book, I felt like I even now I have just chills. I felt like I was at the beach with just the wind and the sun and the waves just washing over me, just reading the first few lines of this book that Lisa has put together. So I don't know how much more I can say about go get the book. Go get the
Get the
book.
first chapter. It's
Get
a
the first
short
chapter.
commitment, not a big commitment. Yeah.
Get the first chapter and then go get the book. So, Amazon best-selling author Lisa Mosby. And since we're here on the Start Restart Your Business Summit, do you have a message for anybody that's on the fence? Like, I don't know, am I really cut out for this? It seems scary. What words of wisdom do you have to share?
Yeah, a lot of people, when they ask that question, they say, yeah, go for it. You'll never know unless you try. And I've actually shifted that a little bit. And my attitude now is, if you're not willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears, what it takes to be an entrepreneur, the lean years, if you only see the success that these people online have, it's an illusion. It's not easy to be an entrepreneur. There's hard work. But if you have a mission, a message in you that needs to be your mission, by all means, do it. There's nothing greater than stepping into living that message that becomes your mission. But maybe it needs to be baby steps for you. maybe you need to be planning it out using whatever AI service that you use, getting into some sort of a business circle, a mastermind community, and do it at the same time as you're earning a living. Because when you let go cold turkey, the numbers are staggering of how many businesses fail. And so to increase your possibility of success, having some place where the income is coming from, where you have a set amount of time that you're allocating towards making a living, and then build your dream business, build that mission, build that vision, that purpose over here on this side. And stick to that. Create a calendar. Say, these are the hours where I'm going to allocate my time. Start with those baby steps because you're going to improve the chance of winning when you do that, and get in community with people who are successful. Remember those five people that you want to be like. Those five people are your average. You're going to live up to the average of those five people. Who are they? And if you don't know them right now, go find them, meet them, put them into your network, find out where they're hanging out and be there. Because again, that's going to give you the insight to get started and to get started strong.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. We say at EnjoyMinder, 41% of Americans have a dream of owning their own business, and yet only 6 to 9% actually do. And there's a 32% gap in there that, it's okay because you do have to really want it. And it is a little daunting, but if you know your why, which you just touched on, if you know your why, and our upcoming speaker, when I did our episode recording, she told us her why. In fact, it's the same why as my episode that will be dropping this evening on the 17th of September. Same why. Their why was their kids. They wanted to have a business that they could be home with their kids. Perfectly great why. And it keeps you moving. It keeps you going forward when you have your why. But I also love that you're saying, look, recognize it doesn't happen overnight. Overnight successes usually take 7 to 10 years.
Exactly, 7 to 10 years.
Yes. So there we go. And so, by the way, for anybody watching the recordings, we do have a lot of people in that are off video, totally fine in the chat. I want to just say a shout out to those people. If you have any questions for Lisa, we still have some time here if you want to ask a question. I see, hey, somebody said, I just bought your ebook. Yay! If I end up wanting a paperback, is it available? And where would I find that?
Yes.
Coming soon, right?
Coming soon. Yep. I'm working on a rewrite now. So I don't really want people to buy that ebook because I want to update. I want to make those updates, and I should have just blocked it on, but I am going to personally send it to you once I get those rewrites done. So thank you for that, Shane.
Appreciate it. Yep. Any other questions or comments that you want to ask this amazing, brilliant woman while she's here with us today? Great. Excellent. Well, Lisa and I have quite a bit in common. We both do have the desire to live well and travel far. She just got the name of the book first. And writing a book, that was another passion project for you. And it's something that many people hesitate doing, but when you can step into it, it's there. So thank you, Lisa, for your time today.
My
Any
thank
final
you so
words?
much.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me on A Bit of Insight. To get more involved with our wellness community, grab a copy of my book, Live Well, Travel Far. Or to explore our travel offerings, visit the website at insightcenterforwellness.com. And if today's episode gave you something to think about, leave a review and please share it with a friend. This is Lisa Mosby reminding you to live well, travel far, and always follow your insight.